Hey Pijuju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chami, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook and all that.
Serious, what's the time now?
Hey, it's almost 1800 hours! I need to tune into Eagle FM! Business Economic Segment is about to play now!
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Chombe from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade, and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Knowledge of our history and our past will give us knowledge of our enemies in the present and be able to forge a new future for ourselves. The talking that you're talking about is happening because people have not yet understood what needs to be changed. We need to change the systems of governance. We need to change the curriculums of education. We need to change our agriculture and the quality of food that we are eating. We need to change our business and economics and own means of production. We need to change our entertainment and our sports. We need to change our health and our technology. Ultimately, we need to change our spirituality. These 7 steps that I've given you must be a daily routine. When you look at your plate of food, you must see colonization. When you look at the tablets that you are drinking, you must see colonization. When you are going to the bank, you must see colonization. And until another generation comes that understands how the colonial system was structured, we'll keep on fighting and exchanging hyenas with foxes and wondering why the sheep keep on disappearing.
Yes, good evening. Good evening, dear listeners. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment. You are listening to, that is the voice of Joshua Maponga. He's an African philosopher, a thinker, and intellectual of our time. And just to get to 1 or 2 things from that conversation, because sometimes you need conversation which are provoking your thinking, conversation which are provoking your line of thinking, so that you can see maybe what can I get from this conversation, 1 or 2 things that can help me in the future and that can assist me moving forward. Yes, you are listening to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Chombe, and we are here from the hour of 1800 hours till the hour of 1900 hours. This is a platform. This is where we discuss global affairs from trade, economics, governance, and indeed issues of local economic development. We are always indicating to you that the conversation is surrounding human advancement. How can we improve human advancement? How can Namibians be able to get the basic human needs? And also, what is the way forward? What can we do to make sure that in terms of conversation and practicality of things, we contribute positively to the development and advancement of our country, and indeed to contribute to the achievement of those national development priorities. Yeah, there is a lot of things happening around the world. We understand that looking at Madagascar, there, things are not going well. The president was airlifted by a French military jet due to chaotic activities which are happening and due to ongoing protests from Generation Z. What you need to understand is that the protest did not yet end because it's also asking for the dissolution of the Electoral Commission. And so that the updates which are coming out here is that when you look at Madagascar, the president in absentia has also dissolved parliament. Dissolved parliament, authorizing that power. That's why it's a man with a gun now who is leading Madagascar. And we see how is the future of SADC looking like, particularly on the ground that we are looking at the Africa that we want, the Africa of peace, unity, the Africa where development is human-centered, and also looking at the goals of the future. But yeah, we are observing the elections also happening in Cameroon, where the 92-year-old sitting president Paul Biya is also looking for the eighth term, and he's a man who has been in power for over 40 years. And if you are 40 years now, the day you were born or the year you were born, it could be that it's a year that Paul Biya got into State House of Cameroon. Until now, something need critical assessment to say, what have you done? Is it really necessary or is it part of African culture? Because the president must be respected. Once you are elected, you are in that highest office. You are selected among the best to lead your people. Yes, the conversation actually for today, we are going to look at it from a broader perspective, particularly regarding African contribution of African into medicine, research, and also development. And we are going to be guided particularly with a case study where European Union Commission and also European Investment Bank put around 95 million euros investment into vaccine production. Investment into vaccine production in Africa, especially in Rwanda. And there are various views and perspectives to say what is happening, why is in Africa, how are we going to pay this money? But just for context, it was indicated that EU and European Investment Bank have announced plans to provide a blended package of financial assistance to the tune of 95 million euros to BioNTech, which is a manufacturing industry in Rwanda, which is manufacturing vaccine. And for your own understanding, when somebody is speaking about vaccine, and the simple definition of vaccine is just to indicate that it's a preparation of the body, or it's a stimulus that is given to the body to prepare to fight the real disease. And we may be able to understand that from the scientific point of view, when it comes to vaccine, it's actually to trigger the body's immune system to prepare to fight for the real disease. That's why during COVID-19, people have to be vaccinated to make sure that your immune system is on point, your immune system is strong enough to fight the virus which is coming. That's why we understand that most of the diseases, they attack the immune system. They attack your fighting spirit and your fighting, system to go against those diseases. But what is very interesting when this conversation was brought about is also clear also to see that when it comes to Africa, when it's coming to African development, when it's coming to things that Africa want and things that Africa is saying is going to achieve, there's quite a contradiction, especially when you look at the goals of African Agenda 2063, when you look at the things that Africans are producing, when you look at the complaint which is coming about. Because the reason we are bringing this conversation is that, you know, when you write something like there is an investment in African health, there is an investment that is coming in the tune of 95 million euros. You know, it's always very interesting also to see, and we have observed, especially during COVID-19, we have observed that people have different views about vaccine. People have different views also about medication that is given. But my question has always been here to say, what control do you have over? If we are complaining about medicine that we are getting from the outside world, if you are complaining about, vaccine that we are getting from the outside world, yes, it's good to complain. But who produced the panando that you are consuming every day? Who consume the medication of either it's HIV, either it's diabetes? Who manufacture those things? Have you ever asked yourself that? Because this is how critical the situation is, because we always have this debate to say, no, we don't want external influence. But the question is that, have you ever invested in your own medication? Have you ever invested in your own, in your own system that can be able to assist you? Because you are just complaining that, no, you do not want the hyena to head over your, or to be the head of your ship. But even if I say, no, okay, let's get the fox to herd your sheep, it's still going to be the same result. Because the question here should not be whether we want a system to invest in our medication or not. The question is that who is heading those industries? And also, what have we done as Africans post-colonial, particularly in terms of manufacturing of medications and also vaccine and many other system? You can talk about food. We are always complaining about, now we are consuming there have been debate about, no, chicken, this one, it's made of what, these chemicals and all these things. But the question has always been here to say, what have you done? Maybe it's a time that now we are going to wake up and see to say, when we are going to that table, when we are going to that table of negotiations, at least we have a stand. Yeah, because it's not going to help anything complaining about, no, the cars which are manufactured now, they are consuming a lot of petrol and, economically they are draining us. What is your alternative? Because we are still at the mercy of those who are giving us. Either it's the West, either it's the Eastern part. Because out of all these debates, the question has always been to say, what are you going to say about this conversation? And I'm very happy that I'm seeing a lot of people are interacting, especially on social media, when this thing is posted. And it's a very good thing also that we can come to our sense and think to say, when we are saying that we want the Africa which is globally competitive, the Africa which is strong economically, the Africa of peace and united, the Africa where human capital is no more an issue, we should come and also ask ourselves questions to say, what we want and what we are doing, is there any link between what we want and what we are doing? And I'm always fascinated, actually. I'm not somebody who is ignorant, but I'm always fascinated, especially when we look at our health sector. When you look at the debate is about who are you giving a tender to buy medicine? Who are you giving a tender? You are not giving a tender. The debate should be, what can we do to supplement what we are giving our people with, internal backed medications? What can we do to fund those students who are studying medicine, to fund those students who are doing research in the medical field? Not only to know the names of medications by their names, but to expand that field, to expand that fraternity. Remember, if you have any problem, especially in this global arena, if you have any problem, it's an opportunity to somebody to come and assist you with a sense of saying, this person is only going to come and assist me for free. But that is a solution to other people. But is this really going to be a long-term solution? Because we need to ask ourselves those questions to say, whatever is happening, either is with trade, either with other products, either is with health, who is having the future of African, health? Where is the future? Who is controlling that future? Who is in charge of producing medication that you are consuming every day? You ask yourself those questions. Is there, and also ask yourself this question too, that if that of who is coming up with medicine which is assisting me to fight this disease, is there going to be a time when that person come up with a medicine that is curing me totally? What does that mean to his or her business? If a certain institution just decided to say, no, I have this medication, if you have malaria, you take it, it's gone, it's disappeared, and you are very, very strong. Do you know what that means to business? It means that the business is going to close. But if somebody is just producing medication for you to sustain you so that you can stay long for quite some times, but you are not going to be cured completely. Go to the history of African medication. Look at the trend of the number of cancers, the type of cancers that African had before 1960, for example. Look at the situation now. Look at the World Health Organization statistics. Then you can be able also to see that that of which we are complaining was not even supposed to be the point of complaining. The point of complaining was supposed to be, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? Because when EU is trying to assist you, because you do not have any option. And there is this thing which was stated by the late Nelson Mandela, to say the beggar does not have any option. When an African prominent person is not feeling well, where do they go to? Paris, different part of the world. China, Russia, the US. But honestly speaking, what does that mean to the current health system that we have in Africa? And how can we improve about it? Because remember, one thing that you need to be very clear about is that if you have a weaker human capital, if you have human capital that you cannot feed, if you have human capital that you cannot address, if you have human capital that you cannot cure their diseases, then you do not have a say on a global table. We do not have a say on a global table. It's very interesting to see when, for example, we are looking at UNGA, we are looking at international conferences where African leaders are meeting with other global players. Let's come and see what will happen in G20. Look at, just start from the dressing code of all the African leaders and all the world leaders, to say, when you are just doing your calculation very well and look at those who are in charge of leading this continent of Africa, what are they wearing? And those clothes are made from what materials? Those clothes are made from what materials? The food that they are eating, the plates that they are using, are made from what materials? They are made by who? The watches that they are wearing are made from what materials? Made by who? The tablets that they are taking when they are not feeling well, they are made from what country? And what give you a reason to say you have a certain, what give you a reason to say you have a say on a global table? As African young people, we can do as much talk as we want. But are we the solutions? No, we are not the solution. What is the solution? The solution is that we need to rethink. When we rethink, then we need to start practically applying what is not only what is good for now, but what is good for the future. Because when you look at this assistance, it is indicated that the 95 million assistance can come in is fragmented this way. Your financial assistance, which is 35 million euros, that is coming as a grant, as a free assistance, as a grant from EU Commission. Then there is also a possibility of a loan up to 60 million from European Investment Bank. Yes, that is quite a great assistance. It's a great assistance, but at whose cost? At what cost? Some people are asking, why in Africa? Some people are asking to say, who is going to be in charge of the manufacturing of those vaccine? Because the fundamental point, or the point of argument, should always be to say, when you are investing this amount of money in Africa, who is going to work in those laboratories? Who is going to work in those industries? Are these really Africans who are in charge of this vaccine production? At whose instruction? Are this institution really independent, that is controlled by Africans? And also to look at the future, are these vaccines that are going to be produced in Rwanda going also to be used in an international market? Let me say, to sell to the US, to sell to China, to sell to EU. Can the United States of America buy vaccine from Africa? Just to give an argument's sake, or this is just going to be made for us. Now, let us look at some of the statistics. I don't want to go back to COVID-19. I just want to look at some of the statistics, especially especially looking at World Health Organization and also looking at the health sector of Africa. They stated that when you look at, for example, in 2023, there's an estimation about more than half a million deaths in malaria was recorded by African Union member states. And it also indicating that that is 97% of global malaria deaths. 97% of global malaria death in Africa. In 2023, just not 3 years ago, in 2023, this was recorded in Africa. And globally, it's representing 97% of global malaria death. Now, I want to ask you a question to say, when you are in this context, the whole of 2023, the whole world, when it comes to malaria, the whole world is just represent 3% of the death. But when it comes to Africa, if you were to rank it in terms of points, in terms of academic scoring, maybe that is a distinction. It's 97% of global death of malaria are in Africa. Then you may want to ask a question to say, for the past 60 years, for the past 60 years of African independence, because when you look at the independence of Africa, you must be very clear to say from 1960s, we have been already moving. For the past 60 years, Africa has been with developmental partners. Africa have always been getting technical know-hows, but at what level have we improved that system? How many challenges are we dealing with as Africans? And who told us that solution will come from outside? And I'm somebody who is well interested in international affairs, and I do not have a problem with international partners. The problem which I have is the problem of having Africans who are not taking charge of their own destination. It's a problem of having Africans who are debating about A and B, where A and B you do not have control over any. We do not have control over any of this. So, dear listeners, you are listening to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. Today we are looking at how is African investment in medication, what is our contribution to the African medicine, and also why do we always complain about the medication which is coming from outside Africa while we do not have control over. If you are complaining about getting Panadols from Norway or getting Zindovudine, Nevilapine and all these all these medicines from outside Africa, what can you do if you do not have them? That is that should be the question. When you answer that question, then you can also be able to come to the point to say, what can we do now that we are not going to depend in this, for in the next 20 years or so? Because it's quite disheartening to see us still moving in a circle, looking about our solution to our own problems. Why, in most cases, the solution comes from inside. Those who were in charge of controlling of and I like presentation, particularly from African intellectuals, when I look at, for example, prominent people such as Papa Shikongene, those who have indigenous ideas and knowledge, I do not think they are taken as serious as they present themselves. I don't think they are taken serious. But these are the people that knowledge, wisdom were supposed to be captured. Because if you listen to him speak about African tradition, African culture, African knowledge, you'll be able to understand that if you miss these people's ideas, if the Mapongas of this world are no more here. And what I like about Mapunga does not care whether you like him or you don't like him. What he's telling you is what is there. Then you are going to debate with yourself. Then you are going to confirm the facts. Then you'll be able also to see that even if you don't admit in public that we have a certain problem that we need to look at. How is the thinking of our leaders in a medical fraternity? Are they forward thinking, or we are just looking forward to that package of that package of medicine that we do not even have control over? How is our quality check in terms of those medication? And also, when it comes to Namibia, at what percentage are we producing medicine that can assist our people? Go to Kadutura Hospital. Go to Central Hospital. Look at how many people are there. Look at the type of diseases that these people have. Look at what we are going through. Then you're asking yourself, are these things that we are putting in our body really going to assist us? Or we are operating as somebody's business? If we are not asking ourselves those questions, then we will continue to spend less in medicine research. We'll continue to spend less in medicine research. And I was also shocked to, especially this year when I went to NIP, there was an event on research. It was an event on research where Professor Anisha Peters made a very strong statement to say, when you look at Namibia research and development is still low. You look at some or many of the laboratories are not, accredited and are not internationally accredited. Even universities, national universities, most of the laboratories are not accredited. The researchers, even if they come up with their research, they have to do it outside for them to be recognized. But those are the conversations that we're supposed to start and looking into. And I want somebody to ask this question to our Minister of Health, especially those who are very close. Ask this question to say, when it comes now to this medical area, looking at academic institutions, particularly those who are offering courses on health, looking at our research and investment, are we ever able to look at Namibia producing its own medications? Namibia producing its own medication, Namibia investing in research in, either traditional medications or herbs which have been used by Africans that we are still buying from outside that, somebody just, commercialized them. Are we looking at that area? But if you are not looking at that area, for how long are you going to be like this? Because remember, there is always a saying to say somebody who is feeding you has power to control you. Somebody who is feeding you has power to control you. And I also have a question to ask to say, man, why a president of Madagascar, for example, has to go to France? Why he's a chairperson of SADC? Why can't even South Africa accommodate him? Or Lesotho? But all of the sudden, I don't want to talk about things I don't have knowledge about, but this is somebody who is very powerful, somebody who is leading SADC. You know what that means? It means that we are not able to take care of our own. It means that for our own safety, even for our own safety, we have to depend on somebody from Europe. But for how long are we going to be like this? And I want to go deep into the question of medicine, because somebody must come and balance me very quickly, especially on the ground of real medication for Africans, especially on the ground that, we want a healthy economy. We want a healthy economy. Because remember, if you do not have a healthy economy, if you do not have human capital which are healthy, then you will never be globally competitive. And I was looking during COVID-19, people understood that there is a problem on air. People understood that COVID-19 is killing people, but there is always a debate to say, no, I want a vaccine which is coming from China. I want a vaccine which is coming from Russia. I want a vaccine which is coming from the US. Or there is an agenda behind this one. This one is satanic and all these things, all the debate. But I was laughing because we do not have option at that point. And until now, we do not have option. And I'm not saying that is the case. We do not have an option. But we have a choice to make to say, how are we going to move forward? How are we going to handle our own industry, especially critical industry? Because if you cannot feed yourself, you cannot dress yourself, and you cannot cure the diseases that are affecting you, and you can also not protect yourself, what are you doing? So, dear listeners, you are listening to Business and Economic Segment. Today, we are looking at what we need to do, especially in the area of medicine, especially in the area of medicine. And we also want to challenge you, especially those who are having different views, and also to assist each other to think and rethink, to learn and unlearn. Because if you are a chemist today, or if you are a professional doctor, whatever field you are, whether you are a cardiologist or you are a doctor of eye, skin, or a dentist, any other specialization, the question you should continue asking yourself is that, yes, you have achieved something. You have achieved something in the life that we are in. You can be able to assist those who are in need. But the question that history will continue to ask you is that, what is your contribution in the field of medicine? What is your contribution in the field of medicine? Have you ever come up with a certain methodologies? Have you ever come up with a certain, not really to say a formula, but a certain practice that is originally African, that is backed by research, that can be used by the generation to come? Because when I was a kid, I used to think people only, and it was my short-sightedness to say people only come to the hospital so that they can be assisted. Then maybe after maybe a year, the hospital will be empty. Little did I know that the continuation of building of hospital will continue for the next 30 years. Because you know why? We are not dealing with real issues. Because we are not in control of our health. We are not in control of our operation. We did not contribute anything. Sometimes we don't even understand the structure of the machines that we are working. Because we are not yet there. When are we going to get there? We are only going to get there when we are different. We are only going to get there when, we look inward. We are only going to get there when we do not depend so much on everything that we can even do ourselves from the outside world. Because if we don't, it's going to be business as usual. The situation on the ground will continue to be worse. Now, look at the situation this way. The African Union has a technical, have technical department of called CDC, Center of Disease Control. And they have a very good plan on the table to say, by 2040, Africa will be able to produce 60% of its medicine that is consuming. But you know what is very interesting? Where are you standing now? You are standing at 1%. It's very interesting. You are standing at 1%. But now, I do not want you to use mathematics and calculate. Just say, how are you going to jump from 1% to 60% in 2040 in producing your own medication? You produce your own vaccine. You produce your own medicinal drugs. Yes, it's quite a very beautiful, ambitious. There is an indication that there are no unrealistic goals. There is only unrealistic timing. But now, what are we doing about it? The question is that, what are we doing about it when CDC of African Union is saying by 2040, 60% of the medication is not going to come from outside? these things of the debate of the middlemen in medicine purchase in Namibia will be the past. We will not discuss about who is the middleman. We will discuss about are we going to buy from David Pharmaceutical Company? Are we going to buy from Nangura's pharmaceutical industry? Or are we going to buy from, Namaseb's pharmaceutical, industry? Or are we going to spend more in this, vaccine research? Or are we going to spend more in this medicinal research? That is what is being proposed, what is being on the table to say that is where we are going to. But is that the reality? Is that the reality? I want you to check the last time you went to, either you went to a hospital or you just bought medicine from a pharmacy, or you got any other product that you have. I want you to look at that medicine that you have used, and also I want you to do research to say, where is this made from? Where is this made from? When you get this answer, that this is made from where, then you can be able to understand that what I'm indicating to you, what I'm discussing this today, we need to change. We need to advise our people. We need to advise our academicians. That's why the first speaker indicated that we need to change our curriculum. How can I produce medicine if when I'm at the institution of higher learning, I'm being taught the names of pills and also how to offer, this medication? And somebody said, and I'm saying this with much respect, and it's not my view. If somebody say no, the doctors that we have, they are just Panado givers. It's quite not an honest statement, but there is a background to that phrase. There is, a meaning. It's not literally to say medical doctors are just Panado givers. It's not true. But when the person is saying this, it means that there is nothing that we are doing on our own that can contribute to the medication, or to the medicinal field. There is nothing, there is less that we are doing to make sure that we are standing on our own. Because if it was, we wouldn't be debating about this cutting of middlemen. The middleman is fighting because there is more money coming inside the country through that tender, because you have nothing to produce. There is more medicine coming, there is more money, there is more to make quotation about, there is more time to manipulate the numbers. Now, we are speaking about industrialization, we are speaking about, our Vision 2030, we are speaking about, Namibia that you want, the SADC that you want, and the Africa that you want, but looking at things that we are doing, if it was in the relationship, we are still at the talking stage. We are not even holding each other's hands. We are still at the talking stage. That is still level one. We are still at the talking stage. If it was a love relationship, we are still at the talking stage. But dear listeners, what I'm trying to indicate here is to challenge you to say, whether it's a field of medicine, whether it's a field of, engineering, let us also try to look inward to say, when other countries innovate, why can't we go to school to learn how to think and innovate instead of learning how to think and be part of, industrial set system? That if you are a mechanic, you are just a mechanic. If you are a mechanical engineer, just mechanical engineer, you are not going to invent. You are not going to invent. And what are we learning from our friends? What have we learned from our friends? What have we learned from our trading partners? Now, global predictions are indicating to say, no matter the tariffs of USA, no matter the trade war, the economy is still going to boost. I've been giving numbers, especially looking at sub-Saharan Africa. The economy is still going to boost. And what is very interesting is that there is an increment in the demand of artificial intelligence equipment. Either it's technological devices, smartphones, and all the technical things. Then the question is always here to say, who made these, equipment? And who is going to benefit more from these equipment? Because remember, whatever the investment in Africa, whatever the amount of money invested in industries in Africa, if we are not changing the way we do things, we are still going to prescribe to the report which is done, the recent report of the Pulse of Africa, which is indicating that economic growth in Africa does not create good jobs, does not mean improvement in the quality of life. You see what I mean? Because there is a lot that we need to do. So, dear listeners, you are listening to Business and Economic Segment. We are interrogating the matter of what can we do. We are interrogating the matter of investment of, in vaccine manufacturing in Rwanda. And we are also looking at challenging you to say, when are you going to stand on your own? And what control do you have over your medicinal, industry? I used to watch. Actually, I still watch and I follow South African politics very much because that is exactly the same as almost the same as Namibian politics. And there was a case of the former president, the former vice president or deputy president. It's called deputy president of South Africa. There was a time here. He had some sickness called due to poisoning and many other things that have been presented out there in public. He used to travel to Russia many times for medical checkup and all these things. And there is one statement that he made to say, when it's coming to the condition I have, that is what he said, when it's coming to the condition I have, it's only the Russian doctors who understand me, who understand my body, and also who have my medical records. Now, from an individual perspective, you may be able to say he was correct to say that point because that is how he managed also to at least survive for quite some times. But the question is that until when we are going to come to that point? Until when we are going to come to that point? Because depending too much on other people's can also undermine your intelligence. It will just come like that to say, if I'm always getting this assistance, if I'm always looking for advice from outside, it could be that these guys are better than me, these guys are smarter than me, and I cannot even challenge them. And whatever they do, I must accept. Then I should forget the question of for how long are we still going to depend outside for investment. I'm not saying investment is bad. I'm just saying for how long. And what control do you have over the direction of that medication? I've been asking people to say, ask the question, who stand the benefit of Africa not producing its own medicine? Who stand the benefit of Africa being in chaos? Who stand the benefit of, who gain the benefit when Africans are not selling their raw material, are not selling their minerals at an international standard? Who is benefiting when Africa is not adding value to its product? Who is benefiting when there is diseases, unending diseases in Africa? And what is the challenge of a united, independent, economic competitive Africa, and Africa where integration is seen everywhere, not only integration in terms of products, integration in terms of information and people also? Who is going to feel threatened by that? Then if you get that answer, you may be able to understand that moving forward, we must also have our own strategy to say, at least, yes, you come from colonialism, you have all the wounds of the colonial master. You have been oppressed. People were not equal. Education system was fragmented and all these things. Now you are independent. When you are independent, what are you doing new? What are you doing new? Now education is at an equal rate. If you go to UK and study medicine, same university, same class, same module, and we even have records of Namibians who got cum laude in universities in the UK, university in America, who become number one, which is actually a pride of Namibia to say we can compete at an international level, then we beat everybody because intelligence is the same. Now the question is that those who go outside and acquire this knowledge, do they have capacity to innovate? Do they have capacity to innovate? Or do they have power to expand and change the way we do things in Africa? The way we do things in Namibia? Because if you go to the same university, you can innovate as others are doing. But yeah, it's a question of debating. It's a question of debating. It's something that we need to look at. Everybody, wherever you are in the field that you are, if you are not coming up with new things, so that's why today when we are speaking about citizen directed development, and I'm going to say this without any fear of contradiction. Without any fear of contradiction, to say, if you want to be honest with ourselves, especially if you want to move our country forward, let us make sure that when the president is saying everybody should be a catalyst in development, it means that wherever you are finding yourself, you must push to the best of your abilities. Do not wait, and it's not going to be possible for the government alone to achieve the target of NDP6. It's not going to be possible for Bank of Namibia and Ministry of Finance alone to achieve the targets of financial sector transformation strategy alone. It's not going to be possible. But what is going to be possible is that everything is possible as long as everybody understands their role in development. Because in Namibia, when you have a political leader or a councillor who still think that donating of food to people is development, then we are doomed. When you have a councillor who thinks that building of sewage and allocating certificates of land to people is doing his people or her people that is leading a favor, then we are doomed. Because that is not where the world is. That is not where the world is. When we have a political leader who still think that AI is things of the past, or cybersecurity to say, is just things of technology, or research and development is just a wasting of money. When you have a politician who thinks like that, then it means that we have a long way to go. But yeah, dear listeners, we have around a few seconds before we come to the end of our conversation, before we give the mic to Omtuma team. Before we give the mic to Omtuma team, what we are indicating to you today, especially this platform, which is a platform of us to go back and rethink. It's a platform of us to educate ourselves, especially when it comes to things which matters, when it's coming to African development, when it comes to things which matters, especially when it's coming to national development. As today we spoke about the investment of 95 million euros by EU and also European Investment Bank to manufacturing of vaccine in Rwanda. And we are saying that is a positive development. But we are also saying that, it's also a matter of asking questions to say, when are we going to stand on our own and fund our own operations? When are we going to be an independent kid in the global world? When are we going to stand on our own? How come? Africa with more than 30% of world minerals, where it is top country which are dominating in terms of production of rare and useful minerals such as cobalt, uranium, platinum, coltan, and many others. But you are still a dependent child. Until when? If Africa was a person, if you are personifying that in a global arena, start from 1960s. How old is somebody who was born in 1960s, for example? Or who got freedom in 1960s? But we have been in existence for quite some time. Look at what we have done on our own. We still depend on the world. But yeah, thank you, dear listeners, for listening to Business and Economic segment with me, David Shombe. And I'm going to leave in the good hands of Mtumwa team. That is Uncle Fly and Kapateka Toka. For me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now. See you tomorrow, same time, same place. Enjoy your day.